I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but I am going to look at the rest of the chapter with you tonight. From verse 14 down to verse 27, really, is a list of the leadership and the men that were, the phrase used is over the host of the various tribes. Each of the tribes is named, each of the leaders is given. I'm not going to read that list of names to you here in just a minute. What I'll read is verses 11 through 13, then we'll skip down to verse 29 and read the rest of the chapter. But I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's always nice to get organized, but it's time to go. Amen?
Amen.
And God got them organized. He, throughout this first 10 chapters, has done everything that needed to be done to prepare them to take the promised land. You haven't seen a lot of military training, have you? Because whose strength do they depend upon? The Lord's. You have seen some order initiated into the 12 tribes, and you've seen a lot about worship, and you've seen a lot of sacrifice, and if you think about it, and I won't go through that list of what all God's done in the first 10 chapters, but what's happened is God has prepared them to trust Him and to walk with Him and to let Him give the victory. Now, we're about to embark upon the anatomy of a failure. Because what's going to happen over the course of the next few chapters is they're going to send out spies. And those spies are going to come back and they're not going to believe. But that was unnecessary. You and I sometimes, when we look at the situation around us, the obstacles that we face, we can be just, the paramount illustration in the Bible would be Peter walking on the water. He was doing just fine when his eyes were on the Lord, but when he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he sank. Folks, it doesn't matter how impossible it is. It doesn't matter how high the seas are or how hard the wind is blowing or how tumultuous the situation seems to be. If we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, He can carry us through.
Amen.
You have faith? Amen?
Amen?
What do we know about faith? A grain of mustard seed moves mountains? This is not some surreal fantasy, imagination kind of a thing. It's trusting God. And God will work. And He tells us, they that wait upon Him renew their strength. He may not work in our timing, but He will work in His timing. And many times, we look at the situation and we think, that's too hard. But if God said it's not too hard, it's not too hard. If God said, do it, He'll give us the strength to do it.
Amen.
Feed the 5,000. But Lord, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that was enough, wasn't it? And God has called us, I don't know if you understand this or not, but not just to reach our immediate surroundings with the gospel, but to send the gospel around the world. Say, Lord, the supply is insufficient. Have you looked in the storerooms of heaven lately? Have you seen the power of God? Amen?
Amen.
There's sufficient supply. Amen?
Amen.
And God delights in using weak, and by fact, the Bible tells us this in the New Testament, weak things to confound the strong. God can use us. We may not be all that capable. We may not be all that powerful or all that talented, but God can use us. That's a joy. In fact, when we trust God and go into the battle in our weakness, then who gets the glory? God, amen?
Amen?
Nothing up to this point in time is evident that would have kept these people from taking the promised land that God gave them. Now, let's remind ourselves of the timetable before I read the passage. And I'll tell you the references, but you don't need to turn there right now. Back in Exodus chapter 12 in verses 1 through 6, and we were there a little over a year ago. We preached through that. Year 1, month 1, day 14, the first Passover. That's the first year, the first month, the 14th day. They killed the Passover. They sprinkled the blood. on the lintel and on the doorposts. And the death angel came, and when he saw the blood, he passed over them. And that night, the firstborn of Egypt were slain, and Pharaoh said, "Get out." And they left. And that was the day, the first month, the first year, 14th day, is when they departed from Egypt. In chapter 40, after the last, if you remember, the last 20 chapters of Exodus are a description of the building of the tabernacle. And that description, I've got a whole series of lessons on that. It's kind of tedious. It's very fascinating. But that description ends at the end of chapter 40 of Exodus. The second year, the first month, the first day, the tabernacle was reared up. So it took about a year for their departure from Egypt and for their travel. It took about a month or so to get them down to Mount Horeb, which is the Mount of God, Mount Sinai, we call it sometimes. And they were there for about 11 months, and they received the instructions, and they built the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a place of worship, a place of sacrifice. Most importantly, it was a place where the presence of God dwelt. And folks, we aren't going anywhere without the presence of God. So that was year 2, day 1, when the tabernacle was reared up. Year 2, month 2, day 1, a month later, Numbers 1:1. So that's what we started just recently in the book of Numbers, with year 2, month 2, day 1. And that's when we began with the census of the tribes. And we found out they had a big army. Turns out they had a real big army. But that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was God was with them. And that's how Numbers began. And we've been looking at that now. So here we find ourselves in chapter 10 and verse 11. Look with me there if you would. It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year, the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai. So now, year 2, month 2, day 20, the journey begins. How long should that journey have taken? Not 40 years. They were close. They were within days, perhaps a couple of weeks' journey from where they were to the promised land, and they could have gone, they could have begun that conquest in a matter of, let's just say, a week or two subsequent to this day. And they could have had the victory if they had believed God. Underline that thought. Do you really believe God? Yeah, that's what matters. We just sang the song, praise the Lord. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Do you believe God? Say, Pastor, it just looks like the job is so big and the enemies are so multiplied and the laborers are so few and the resources are so small. Pastor, it just seems like there's just no way. Do you believe God? This is the very same thing that Israel had to decide. God said, I will give you the land. Do we believe God? But Pastor, the bank account, but Pastor, I don't know, do we believe God? Anytime we start to look at what we have to work with, you go out to my garage, and I'm the world's worst about not putting tools away, and so I've got this place out there in my garage, and my philosophy is, if I put the tool there, the next time I need it, that's where it will be. It's not in the toolbox anymore, but it's in the vicinity of the toolbox, and so it gets time to do a job. And I need a certain tool to do the job. And so I go out there and I survey my tools. And I see, okay, here's what I got to get this job done. I've usually got the tool I need. And if not, you can always use a crescent wrench for a hammer, amen? Hurt yourself. But anyway, but I look and I see what I've got to work with. And I know the job I got to get done. And I kind of pair those two up. And I think, well, no, I better go to Lowe's because I need some more tools or whatever. I need some more parts. Or no, I've got what I need to get the job done. When you and I look at what we have to get the job done, did you realize you need to keep God in that list? And folks, if you got God, you got everything you need. That's all you need. That and some personal obedience and some personal willingness and some personal submission. There's not anybody that's going to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, it couldn't be done. It could be done. It could have been done. God has, you've seen 10 chapters of preparation for these people to be successful. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. We know what's going to happen, sadly. They just didn't believe God. And they're not the only ones that have ever suffered that fate. Christians do that sometimes. We believe God, amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Let me show you a few things here towards the end of chapter 10. I've already read the first couple of verses, so let's begin in verse 29. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward, that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, thank you tonight for each one that's here. Thank you for the promises in the Bible. Lord, thank you that you promised us that where two or three are gathered together, that you're there in the midst. We know you meet with us tonight, but Lord, we need your power. We need your guidance. We ask you to let us see what the Holy Spirit has for us in these verses. And I pray that you'll help us as we look into the Word of God tonight and encourage us, prepare us for the battles that we face in the days to come. And Lord, give us a very clear vision of the victory that you would have us to achieve if we'll simply believe you. Give us direction, we pray. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to just skip over verses 14 through 27. There's a indication here in each of these verses of the different leaders. It says in verse 15, over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethaneel, and the son of Zuar. And verse 16, over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab. And then there's a pause there for the tabernacle being taken down, and the sons of Gershom and Merari. We heard about them earlier. And then Reuben and Simeon and Gad, and the Kohathites and Ephraim and Manasseh, Benjamin and Dan and Asher and Naphtali. And says in verse 28, thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. The journey began and there was a recognition of the leaders. I think it's very important for us to remember that God does intend for us to have leaders and not to be an anarchy. And it's important that in this particular case, he names each of these leaders, that they're an important part of the task. I won't dwell on that a whole lot, but I will tell you this, that each of us have various responsibilities when it comes to leadership. When I was in the Army, I remember one time I was in the National Guard, and I was an armory commander in a little place in South Texas called Kingsville, and the battalion commander became so concerned about the leadership skills of his junior officers that he acquired money to have special evening courses and had us go to Corpus Christi, Texas over a series of weeks and meet there for 3 or 4 hours a night several times just to reinforce our leadership skills. Leadership is important. And God in the Bible has laid out, I've got a series of classes on leadership, a long series of classes. I've even taught them in Mexico. Leadership is important. If God puts you in leadership, be a good leader. And he'll give you, there are lots of leadership positions in a church. Sunday school teachers are leaders, aren't they? And even as a soul winner, when you go out and you go soul winning, you're trying to what? Lead someone to Christ. There's leadership there. I'm not going to dwell on the leadership portion tonight, but I do think that's important. But I want to get down to this next step. The journey begins. There's a recognition of the leaders. The cloud was taken up. Now, here's a thought. What did the cloud tell them? We saw this a couple of weeks ago. Where the cloud went, they went. Amen?
Amen.
When the cloud stayed, they stayed. There was no doubt in their mind, time to go. I think the reason some people don't serve God the way they should is because they haven't got their eyes on the cloud. They've got their eyes on the world or whatever, and wow, look at that police car over there, and they get distracted and they forget about, oh yeah, I'm talking to the, you know, folks, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, amen? And I tell you what, when God says, let's go, let's go. I think, I have no doubt in my mind, God has called us to impact this neighborhood for Christ. And we coming to the point to where some of us can tell you every nook and cranny in these apartments down here. Used to be a day when I needed a map. I can just about draw that place from memory now. The trailer court, I'm not quite that good with the trailer court, but there are people here that are. And you tell them trailer 57 and they go, yep, I know where that is. But we have a God who has called us to reach our neighborhood. But not just our neighborhood. 25,000 people moved into to Maricopa County last year. This area is growing. And we need to get the gospel out. And pray with me that we would know how to do that. It involves a lot of different things. But praise the Lord, we're still here. We're still going to preach the truth. Amen? And the cloud is a picture of the guidance of God. They knew it was time to go. I'll just say this once again, not to be redundant, but folks, it's time for us to go. Amen?
Amen.
Time for us to go take territory. It's time for us to go forward. And the time is short. The astounding rapidity with which our nation is becoming less and less and less godly, to where it's almost not recognizable anymore that we even have a God. Time for us to go, and God's made that very clear, and he made that very clear in Acts when he said, go ye into all the world. We read that Acts 1:8 earlier, or when he told us that in Mark chapter 16. So the cloud was taken up. They departed from Sinai. They came to the wilderness of Paran. That's an interesting place. You know, when you're studying your Bible, and especially I hope you do this in the morning, maybe when you're having a devotion, there's two things you ought to have when you're having a devotion. One of those is a dictionary so that you can look up words because you'll learn them after a while. But even then, to this day, if I saw the word lasciviousness, I might look it up one more time just to make sure I got it right. The other thing you might want to have is a concordance or some mechanism that lets you look things up in the Bible. Paran, this is not just any old place. Paran, I'll tell you some things about Paran. Ishmael lived there in Genesis 21. That's interesting. And we know about him and his story, and that reminds us of some things. It's 3 days from Sinai, we know that. And the Bible later tells us this is where the spies were sent from. So it's a wilderness. Would God lead you into a wilderness? He did. What's a wilderness? It is a place where it seems like there's nothing, no resources, no water, no food, nothing to work with, no trees for firewood. You think that when you drive out I-10 heading toward Los Angeles, you think that's wilderness out there about 30 miles? I get the biggest kick. I've only been through there a few times, and there's this sign out there. You need to buy land here, it says. I'm thinking, are you crazy? Why? Well, there's nothing out here. Folks, that's paradise compared to some of the wilderness that they have in the Middle East, where it's just nothing. But folks, if God's with you, it's great. Amen? Now, the next thing you're going to see, next chapter, is some people murmuring. And we'll get into that next week. But the question there had to be, why are we here? Surely there's a better place you could have brought us, Moses, than the wilderness. Well, first of all, Moses didn't take him there. God did.
Amen.
Secondly, you know what? If God's with you, be happy in the wilderness. He's not going to keep you there forever. He's got a reason for that. And so they go off into this wilderness of Paran, and they're in this wilderness, and now Moses, and I hope you have the understanding in verses 29 through 36 of Moses' heart. That really is the valuable gist of the message tonight. Moses, first of all, he speaks to Hobab, the son of Reguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Now, the Midianites ultimately became the enemies of Israel, but Moses had married a Midianite woman, and there was some family situation involved here. But look what Moses says to this fellow. He says, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us." What's that song? "I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me?" Folks, we're going to a great place. Amen?
Amen.
Invite some folks to come along. No doubt about it. It's a great place. "Well, what are you doing in this wilderness?" someone says. That's just a waypoint. That's just where we're going to be for a few days. This world is a wilderness in a lot of ways. Spiritually, it's a wilderness. But this is not where it all ends. Amen? Where it all ends is with the Lord. Pastor in Salt Lake City used to always, at any funeral he preached, he would say this. He would say, if whoever it was that had stepped into eternity, if they could come back and stand before you today, they would tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He wants to be your Savior, and that He's prepared a place for you which is magnificent. And if you will, you can receive Him as your Savior and go there. I was sitting on the platform during one of those funerals one time, a memorial service, and a fellow about one row back, who happened to be the husband of the lady that had passed away, who was unsaved, who was ungodly, when the pastor said that, he lost it. Do you remember that, Deborah? And got up and stormed out and said, "I can't believe this." And it's the truth, amen? I'm sorry he sees things that way. His name was Calvin. I haven't heard about him in a long time. I hope he got saved. But folks, we're on the way to a great place. It's a great journey. We have a great God to go with us. We're following Him. Everything's all right. Pastor, what about the battle? It's going to be, the enemy's big and we're small. And no. We have a big God. Everything's going to be all right. Just keep on marching. He said, Moses says to these folks, Moses' confidence is this. He says, "We're going to a place which the Lord said, I will give it you." Folks, does God keep His promises?
Amen.
What's God promised you lately? Amen?
Amen?
And is He going to keep that promise?
Yes,
you know, the Bible says that the Word of God never returns void. It always accomplishes that which it purposeth. If you go out and give the Word of God to somebody, it will accomplish its purpose.
Amen.
The Bible says that if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, but if we sow liberally, we'll reap much. The Bible says in the Psalms, it says that if you go bearing precious seed, they that go with weeping bearing precious seed will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. We got promises.
Amen.
God gave us these promises, and He gave them the promises. Don't make the mistake they made. Believe what God said.
Amen.
He keeps His promises. You will step into eternity like Joe did this morning, and you're going to, what an amazing thing to, I was just thinking this morning, we were singing that song, that Fanny Crosby song. I wonder if Joe has met Fanny Crosby yet. That's an interesting idea. She's up there, amen? They're together with the Lord. I think the first person you want to meet, as we sang this morning, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see my Savior first of all. But, folks, what a great place. And when we get there, I just want you to know it's just God keeping His promise, amen? Well, anyway, Moses says, he says, go with us. He says, come thou with us. We will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. You see God's promise, you see God's plan. God had a good plan for Israel. This is not just feel-good preaching, but it sure feels good. God has a good plan for you. God has a good plan for Vision Baptist Church. God had a good plan for Paul, and Paul got stoned. God had a good plan for Paul, and he was put in prison and beaten. God had a good plan for Paul, and he was shipwrecked and left for dead. God had a good plan for Paul. He received 39 stripes more than once. God had a good plan for Paul. They put him in prison in Rome. So wait a minute. I don't understand that. When you get to heaven, ask Paul, hey, Paul, how was God's plan? He'll say, God had a good plan. Because, folks, when you suffer for the Lord, it glorifies him, and there is great reward in that. Found a fellow last week that was just not happy to see us at his door. He was livid, to put it mildly. And what does the Bible say that we should do when we come across someone like that? Leap for joy. For great is your reward in heaven. This may sound peculiar, but go door to door and go looking for the grumpy people. Because there's rewards there. Amen? There's other rewards too, but you find one of those people who's not happy with you, when you leave that door, just think, praise the Lord. The Lord wanted to give me a reward today. So he gave me somebody grumpy to talk to. And like I told that fellow last week, I said, I want you to know something. One day you're going to wish you to listen to me. Well, he didn't want to hear that either. But it's true, isn't it?
Amen.
Come go with us. The Lord's spoken good, hadn't he? Amen?
Amen.
The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Wow, verse 30 is sad. He said unto them, I will not go. I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. I don't understand it. But I see Christians do it. I see lost people do it. They'd rather go to something that they want and to something that God offers them. I came across this fellow Saturday that was dressed like a woman. And I know exactly why he did that. He wasn't happy. And this dishonest, lying world has told him, if you would do something crazy like that, you'd be happy. That would make you happy. I think the reason you're not happy, the world says, is because you ought to be a woman and not a man. How foolish is that?
That's right.
It's just like when people tattoo themselves, or when people pierce their body with all these crazy piercings, or when they do all these crazy things they do. They're looking for happiness. Folks, the woman at the well can tell you very plainly there's no happiness outside of Christ. And that fellow was not happy, and he thought, maybe if I was a woman, I'd be happy. I can guarantee you it didn't work. And I suspect in many cases they're just too ashamed to admit it, and so they won't go back and be what God created them to be. But where I'm at here thinking about this is, he says, I will not go. There are some people that would turn down the things God offers them because they think they've got something better. I just want to tell you, there's nothing better. Look at verse 32, or 31, I'm sorry. I appreciate Moses' persistence. Leave us not, I pray thee. And then he says, you know, you could be a help to us. We're going to be in the wilderness, and you know this place well. You could be a help to us. Wonder how many times there's some people that God could have used greatly to further the ministry, and they just wouldn't get involved. They wouldn't be a part of it. And that's okay. God can make up for that. But aren't you glad that you can take the talents that God gave you and use them for him? And that's what he says to him. He says, you could do some things for God and some things with eternal value. I think I'll just stay home and watch TV. There's a lot of eternal value in that, isn't there? I just think I'll make some money and go on a vacation. Yeah, there's a lot of eternal value. No, there's no eternal value in that. There's eternal value in taking what God gave you and using it for him. 32, it shall be, if thou go with us, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee. In other words, if you'd go with us, you could know the goodness of the Lord. I just know this. I want to go where the Lord goes.
Amen.
I want to know his goodness, not what the world calls goodness or what the world has to offer. I want to know his goodness. And that's where we're going. Amen?
Amen.
kind of a sad story there. And they departed in verse 33. 3 days' journey. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. Now look at these last two verses and we'll be done. It came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, and I just want you to know, it demonstrates his confidence. It also demonstrates God's promises. He says this, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." It's going to happen. Those folks that have made themselves the enemies of God, a day is coming when they'll know God's power. Maybe very soon. They're going to cry out to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us." Kind of funny that men would cry out to rocks instead of crying out to God. But when you believe in evolution, I guess the rocks are your God, aren't they? Folks, God's going to scatter his enemies. And don't you like to be on the winning side?
Amen.
When I was in high school, this was in the 1970s. I graduated in 75. We had a coach, his name was Joe Boyd, not the evangelist, but the same name. And he, I don't know why on earth he was at our school. He was one of the best coaches in Texas. He knew how to make a winning football team. And he took our football team to, we were a little 2A school. I had 70 people in my graduating class. Our school had 450 students in grades 9 through 12. It was a little bitty outfit. We would go to the cities around us, Pecos, big school district, 3A school, we're a 2A school. Fort Stockton, big school district, 3A school, we're a 2A school. They're twice as big as us. We'd beat Pecos 72-2. And we were three. We'd beat Fort Stockton, 68-7. And this guy was good. And I sure enjoyed being on a winning team. And even though it was just my school, and I didn't play football. I started out my freshman year playing football, and I didn't continue. But I was glad to be on the winning side. Folks, you're on the winning side.
Amen.
You come across the most vicious enemy of God, he's going to grind them to powder one day if they don't turn to him. Moses knew all of that. He knew what God could do to his enemies. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Because that's what's going to give you the victories when you believe God. And in verse 36, it says, "When it rested, he said, Return, O Israel, or I'm sorry, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." There was a day when God fought their enemies, and there was the time when they knew the presence of God in times of rest. The Lord promised this. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee."
Amen.
He promised this, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst." He promised this, that his word is a place where you can have fellowship with him. And I hope you know his presence every day. Moses knew that the presence of the Lord was with them. So the journey has begun. They're off. And you say, "Well, Pastor, now it's going to be great." No, it could be great. It depends on what they do next. And I'll just kind of let you think about this. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. The people complained. And it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and some of them died. Didn't have to be that way, did it?
No.
Just be careful. The very same God that can give us victory is also watching over us to judge us in some cases, and if nothing else, to cleanse our ranks so we can be prepared for that victory. But that's a message for another day. God's good. Amen.
Amen.